come back for the rest of this hour. I'm here with Catalina Byrd as we talk about this city election here before we turn to our national election. Cat will stay for that too, but you can join us here at 410-319-8888 about who you're going to vote for and why and where you think this election is. You can email us at talkistinashow.org, tweet us at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. How you doing, Cat?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good.
I'm here.
Thank you.
And there's coffee. I appreciate you.
We have the coffee ready for you. You got your little baby across the glass. So let's begin. I mean, we had Sheila Dixon on, having all the mayoral candidates on. And I just, your sense of this election, and we see the polls show that Catherine Pugh is far ahead of the game in the last poll. But let me tell you, I know you always like to have a dissenting point of view. So
so much so, it seems to be that some people think I don't believe what I say anymore. I just say it to be contrary, which is not actually the case. But
no.
I said it on Square Off Sunday, and it's the way that we poll that's a bit antiquated that I think makes our regular 6-point margin differential different than usual, because people have moved here that were not here in the last mayoral election that are not being polled because they're not in the MD van as being super voters. And so we typically poll super voters. And so if they weren't here in 2011 and if they weren't here in 2012, their voting records from whatever states they came from do not translate and carry over. And so there's a part of the population that has boomed. This is not the same city it was when I ran for mayor in 2011.
No, but wouldn't that help people like either Pugh or Embry?
No. Well, possibly Embry,
right?
but maybe not so much Pugh, because what these individuals know is that there are people who have been in office before or are in office now who are running versus people who have never run for office before and never been in office before.
So who do you think it helps?
I think it helps.
If your analysis is correct.
I think it helps, oddly enough, it helps a DeRay McKesson, it helps an Elizabeth Embry, and it helps a David Warnock because they are viewed as outsiders of the establishment. They have never held a position of elected office that these individuals can research and see. And so they come in with a clean slate of their own. No puns intended, because I think the pack runs terrible ads.
Well, clean slate, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that people say they don't know who's doing this, but every report I read is a clean slate is run by a lot of the men who used to work for Martin O'Malley.
Right. And so, like I said, no puns intended. I think that they've been very purposely disingenuous in the way that they've entered this process from the very first ad that they had, where they had former Mayor Dixon, who we just heard on the air, characterized as the Grinch who stole Christmas, and bringing back things intentionally in a way that people who didn't live here would only remember that one thing. So if you weren't here, you didn't know what a Sheila Dixon administration looked like. You don't remember that there were bike lanes in urban communities where we'd never had them before. You didn't see how the stimulus money was used for Project Orange Cone to repave roads in West Baltimore that had been notorious for potholes and had been being ignored because they're not close to the harbor for decades. And so all you know is that no matter where you were in the country, on CNN, you saw the feds come in and raid her house, right? And so they keep reiterating the worst of one moment that does not encapsulate the entirety
of
her administration.
Sheila Dixon looking as if she was in a mugshot.
Right, and that is right. Not the entirety of her administration, and I think it's unfair to label her body of work that way.
So, folks, I want to hear the time we have left here in this segment, 410-319-8888, who you might be voting for and why, and what you think about the city council races, which I think are really not covered with the density that they should. And I'm sorry we're laughing because Catalina brought her lovely little daughter who's entertaining Mark Gunnery across the glass. 410-319-8888 is now here. We get these calls coming in. So the city council races, to me this is fascinating. There are two council people now who would be seriously challenged for their seats. There are six others that will be brand new people. What's your analysis of those races?
The sky is falling.
The sky is falling.
I've been freaking out about this for months.
Why?
Now. Because if they come in like the Tea Party did in Congress, they can coalesce and there's enough of them to pass anything. So you're going to have a whole new council, which is a historic flip for the city.
I thought that's something but given somebody who thinks there should be turnover, is a good thing.
I would agree if everybody was capable, but I'm looking at some of the people who have gotten endorsements and are running, and I'm saying, if these individuals are in the council with a novice mayor and maybe or maybe not Jack Young in the middle as council president. What does that administration look like with everybody being new and everybody being a novice and there being likely no institutional wisdom about how the process works in City Hall? That is very frightening to me. It's very, very frightening to me. And you mentioned there's two really contested races. You have 9, where John Bullock has gotten a lot of endorsements.
Right.
But again, regardless of how, and I'm a lifelong resident of the 9th District. Maybe you do or you don't like Councilman Pete Welch, but at least he's been in there long enough to understand how City Hall works.
Wait a minute. What's more important, to have somebody who understands how City Hall works or to have people in the City Council who are going to challenge the norm and not go along, get along, and keep passing things that harm the city? Or don't? I mean,
in theory, someone who challenges the go along to get along sounds good, but if they don't know how to pass things,
but they'll figure that out. But that's not rocket science.
No, it's rocket science.
It's not rocket science.
Legalese and policy have some very similar nuances in that a comma in the wrong place, punctuation in the wrong place, a word used in the wrong context, and by no means am I saying John's not qualified, because he is. But there's some others running some other open seats where those individuals retire that give me pause. But the nuances of policy are not something that you learn while in the office. It's just not.
I actually really disagree.
I mean, that's what you do.
I think that if you have bright people and committed people, and one thing, the beautiful thing about this councilmatic election to me, all the 20 and 30-year-olds who are running for office that care about this city, and I don't agree at all. When you get in there, you can learn the ropes pretty quickly about how to pass a bill, what the language means. And there are people around you who can show you that. It's like being on radio. You can learn the technical aspects of radio when you're there. You don't have to have
it. But who are going to be the people around there to teach them if we have a historic flip on the council? We have 14 seats, and there's 8 of them that are changing, possibly 10.
So that leaves 6 people who've been on the council for a long time.
4 or 6.
And you've got the president of the city council who will probably be reelected, even though he refuses to debate Kim Trueheart.
And there's a Republican challenger. For the first time, that's a viable candidate.
Who?
I'm not talking about the regular nut jobs, but Pastor Shannon Wright is a pastor. She shares a lot of the same background as Jack, and is intended. And they intentionally are making sure that she is in the part of the campaign in the general. So if he snubs her like she does, you know, there's parts of Baltimore that felt some type of way when Anthony Brown did that to Governor Hogan. And there's going to be some parts of the city that are going to be allowed to vote in the general election that are going to feel that way about Pastor Wright as well.
I'm not so sure about that. But I don't think the Republicans have much of a shot in this town, except maybe in first district for city council. Maybe there. But that's about it.
I think they have 2 good shots, and you called one of them right.
What's the other one, you think?
I think that Pastor Wright has an opportunity.
Not citywide. They're not going to happen citywide. It's just not going to happen citywide right now in Baltimore City. There's no way a Republican can win in this town citywide. It's just not going to happen. I can see an independent, depending on who the mayoral candidate is, or a Green Party candidate really challenging somebody, depending on what happens in this primary and what the general looks
like.
I can see that. I don't think he could win, but I think he can really scare him up. Let's get a couple calls real quick. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Tim in Baltimore. You're on the air.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
As far as who am I supporting for mayor, I was supporting Mosby while he was in the race. Obviously, he's pulled out. People have spoken. I'm leaning toward Pugh at this point, and I'll tell you why, her and not Dixon. I think they're both capable. I think Pugh will just be a better face for the city at this point, and that's very important when we look at trying to take Baltimore forward and work with the state and federal levels. I live in the 7th District. I'm a little up on the air about the candidates in that district, but I'm looking for somebody that can bring economic development outside of downtown to the neighborhoods and someone that can legislate. I'm looking for legislation that has teeth, that's going to have binding agreements around what some of these people talk about, just like Mrs. Dixon that was on your show a few minutes ago.
Right.
You talk about small business, you talk about economic development and inclusion, but the current laws that are on place right now actually have no teeth to actually hold people accountable. And if you've been part of the establishment for so long, why hasn't this city moved further along that line if you want to really implement those plans? So I'm a little concerned about that.
Tim, I think you have a right to be concerned about that. I think that's a really interesting comment. And your 7th District, I mean, you have really interesting people running. You got, I think, Marshall Bell, Sean Tarrant, Kerry Davidson, who's a really, 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 really a bright person. I think that there are a number of people in that race, and even Leon Pinkett, who I think the Sun endorsed, if I'm not correct. But
they did.
But I think that particular race has really viable candidates who know their stuff. Marshall and Sean would fit your criteria. They could walk right in and know what was going on. The other ones were bright enough to figure it out.
Right. So you have the brother of the former council president, who is also a central committee member, who works in City Hall as a legislative analyst currently. So, yes. And what Tim, I think that was the caller's name, Tim just spoke to, legislation with teeth. That's where I get the pause for some of these people who have made their claim that they are, you know, outsiders. Well, it's okay to be an outsider in terms of not being part of the Democratic in-crowd clique that's run the city.
Yeah.
But that's totally different than understanding the importance of policy, how you write a community benefits agreement into something and have accountability measures that have enforcement opportunities.
But who are there now have done that. I mean, they are not. They're not doing anything. I mean, most of them go along with every tiff that happens in this city.
I'm not saying that they are right. But I'm saying that you can't, I don't want to replace them.
I'd rather have a novice stumbling and then figure out what to do to fight for the interests of the people than have people who are going to fight for the same old interests they always have.
Not at this turn in the city. There's a lot of
That's exactly why we need this turn in the city.
There's a lot of money coming in from all over the country into Baltimore a year post-uprising. This is a very critical time for the city and not a time for all the new kids on the block to jump into the sandbox on the same day.
Just the opposite. 410-319-8888.
Who's going to be the line leader? I feel like we're going back to school. Who's going to be the line leader? They're going to be arguing over lunch tables.
Well, I won't say who I think, unfortunately, but let me go to the phones here. Keep that personal stuff out of it. 410-319-8888. Let's go to, is it Ville on line 3?
Yes, first let me just say hello.
Hello.
Yes, and I agree with Catalina on some things, but I totally disagree on her position on this. Oh, yes, I'm supporting Catholic truth, but I guess my question is this, Catalina. Just like you say you ran for mayor in 2011, if you would have won, you would have been a new mayor. You know what I'm saying? So you would have went in with the same qualifications that some of these people that's running for city council is going in, but you would have been having the highest seat in city government. But why would you have been qualified and they not qualified?
I'd be happy to answer that. Because there are some people who are running because they're angry with what the status quo has been. I ran knowing for over a decade that was a job that I wanted to do. And so I, much like Kim Trueheart, I attended public hearings. I studied the processes of how the city operates. So if you go back and find the Mark Steiner podcast from 2011 when Mark interviewed me, when I came in, I had actual answers to the policies that I wanted to change. My body of work had been one that took me into offices of nonprofit corporations as well as real estate development so that I understood how the city operated and I understood all of the nuances of that. But that was a personal choice that I've made. And I'm not saying that all of the candidates are not qualified. John Bullock would make an exceptional councilman, I think, if elected. Though I'm not saying that I don't make endorsements anyway. There are some people running who have some practical knowledge based on their work experience and their study and their practice that could make them be good council people. But those people are not the ones who are getting the endorsements.
But even people like in District 3, where to place Bobby Kern, I mean, I think Ryan Dorsey may not have been in politics before. He's really, really bright, knows what he's doing. Jermaine Jones has been running labor unions. He understands what's happening out there. Marcus Dent is an interesting thinker coming. I mean, these are bright
three
people.
Three doesn't concern me quite as much. Yes, they are bright people. You have really bright people running in 8 and 5 as well. But then you have over in 1, you know, some people that I don't know that are equally as bright.
I think also, let me just say this. We haven't had a show on this yet, but I think that when you look at things like District 4, I think in many ways, I think Bill Henry is being shafted.
He is.
Completely shafted.
Completely.
And I think there's a lot of money from a former administration that's going into a campaign to unseat him because he stood up to their – because he ran for state senate. People are angry about that politically. and because he stood up to a couple of things, and so people are going after him. So that's a really interesting race to watch and critical to see how that turns out.
This race is so funny. In races where I know people personally and have worked with them, I told them all the way last year, I'm not going to come out in support of your campaign because I'm not going to hurt someone else's. I try to take the role that I have on air and the influence, whatever, good or bad, that has on people very, very I take it very seriously. And so initially, Rodney Burris, my friend, who we've had on many shows here, and is a great education advocate, reached out to me and said, hey, Kat, I'm running in four. Will you help me? And I said, no, you know, I've known Bill a long time. Really appreciate the things he's done. And then out of nowhere comes this Brian Hammack person. And then we start doing the digging and we see where the money is coming from, and we see where the ads are being placed, and we see where the hit job is going in. And it's like, if ever there was a year that I wanted to make endorsements, it would be this one specifically for Bill Henry, because he's been effective. He's not the council person that if you go into his district, they say they don't see him. He's not that status quo just because he's an incumbent. He's probably the least of them all, of all of the ones that are still running to keep their seat. And what's happening over there in four is really disheartening to me.
Yeah, I think we're closer in line about the District 4 race. I've been watching that pretty closely, and I'm trying to watch these council races, which we're going to try to cover on the show here before we get to Election Day, and have Catalina back with some others to kind of really go at it about where we are with these council races. And I think they're vitally important, because the council, if they pass these bills, limiting the mayor's power, will become a much more important institution than they are now.
With a whole lot of new people that we're not sure what their intellectual capacity is.
I'm sure most of their intellectual capacity. I want to see new blood in here that can really turn it upside. We need it turned upside down, or you'll never end the TIFs. You'll never end the money not going into the inner city neighborhoods. It'll keep going into the, as we call, the white, as Lawrence Brown calls, the white L. It'll not get to the black butterfly anywhere in the city, and that's what has to happen if the city's going to change.
If Lawrence Brown was running, I'd feel better about these things.
Catalina Bird.
I'm right. Just saying, Mark.
We should take this on a road. So
I might have grown cynical. I have been doing this a long time, but I mean, this is just very, very scary to
old.
Me. Yeah, I'm getting old, and it's just well, scary.
If you're old, you're gonna bring me in my wheelchair now.
Yeah. Well, you know. I'm not getting in trouble this week twice. I called Richard Shear seasoned on some square off Sunday. He almost fell out of his chair.
So. That's good. He needs to fall out of his chair. Anyway, so we're going to take a short break here. We have a news break to take. Catalina stays with us, and we're joined by Arun Gupta and Eugene Craig as we look at the national elections that took place yesterday, New York election, but also what all this means for the coming elections, both on the Republican and Democratic side, the splits we see, where it's taking American politics. Stay with us for all of that. We want to hear your thoughts at 410-319-8888. Catalina and the rest of our guests will be back in just a few minutes.